This is Radio Superior 1955. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels dance party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's Thursday, June 16th, 1955. Lou Martin's got 6 o'clock news, George G. Newton and the Cracker Barrel Lady are in, and Machine Gun Kelly is doing an expose on submarine races at the Stardust Drive-In. Sounds like a dangerous mission, Machine Gun.
Hey, danger's my middle name, King Timothy. I'll just dodge the torpedoes.
That's damn the torpedoes.
Yeah, but you can't say that on the air, man.
Machine Gun Danger Kelly will be with us when he finds out the dope and doesn't get bopped by a dope for being a peeping Tom or machine gun or whatever. Superior Water, Light, and Power is footing the bill for the 6 o'clock news. Give that June bride an electrical appliance, a practical gift to help her with her new housewife chores. It's all yours, Lou Daddy-O.
Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. A regional tragedy tops our news tonight. Three die as the Shawamigan Bay Area is jolted by a TNT blast. We begin tonight's news from Barksdale with Charles Sheridan.
A probe was launched today in the Barksdale explosive plant blast, which took the lives of three workmen of the DuPont TNT facility here yesterday. A blast of 3,000 pounds of high explosives shook Ashland, Washburn, and the surrounding countryside. Ashland and Washburn residents rushed into the streets and looked towards Barksdale after hearing the blast, seeing a mushroom cloud with a long, thin stem rise rapidly above the plant. The Washburn victims were 45-year-old Elmer Nelson of Washburn, survived by his wife Doris and four children, 43-year-old Stanley Berg of Ashland, survived by his wife Madeline and one child, 46-year-old Russell Nelson of Bayfield, survived by his wife Tammy and four children. Representatives from the company in Wilmington, Delaware, are en route to Barksdale to investigate the blast. Barksdale plant manager D.A. Semb says the blast destroyed a mixing house known to plant employees as the S-primer house of the plant's Nitramex production setup. Cause of the explosion has not been determined, and it is unlikely it ever will be determined, as the only witnesses were the three victims. Despite careful investigation of the last blast in 1952, no definite determination of that explosion could be reached. The explosion occurred shortly after the afternoon shift change. Only a few minutes before the blast, foreman Elmer Dasgard visited the doomed house and found everything in excellent order. Dasgard was 500 feet away when the explosion occurred just after 4 o'clock. Hundreds of relatives and friends rushed to Barksdale, and Highway Number 13 was soon jammed with traffic in front of the plant entrance. No information could be obtained for about an hour when it was announced that a mixing house had blown up and that three men were killed. It was another hour before the victims next of kin were notified. Manager Semb estimated the damage at more than $75,000. While the S-primer house was blown to bits, only slight damage was suffered by other buildings in the area several hundred yards from the blast. There were no other injuries. The last blast at the Barksdale plant occurred October 15, 1952, when the Nitramex plant went up early in the morning hours, killing eight men. When the plant was rebuilt, some of the units were separated to reduce the risk of explosion and the number of victims in case of a blast. Only three men were permitted in the S-primer house at a time. The S-primer house was a two-story structure protected on three sides by heavy reinforced concrete walls and earthen barricades. The unbarricaded side faced a wooden ravine which runs east to Shawamigan Bay and carries the sound and force of the explosion to Ashland. Trees in the ravine in front of the S-primer building were uprooted and broken off. Leaves were blown off all the trees in this entire surrounding area, and the ground was littered with fragments of machinery, lumber, and concrete from the destroyed structure. The heavy concrete walls were cracked, forced apart at the corners, and even shattered to powder in one spot, exposing the reinforcing rods. Some debris still hangs in the trees. Heavy chunks of concrete and steel landed several hundred yards from the scene. The Barksdale plant celebrated its 50th anniversary in 1954 and reached its peak in World War I when several thousand were employed in the production of munitions. It boomed to a lesser degree in World War II when two TNT lines were operating. The DuPont plant employs 400 people now. In Barksdale, this is Chick Sheridan.
This is Norris Swanson in Ashland. A ball of fire rocketing skyward, a loud bang, and then an atomic-like mushroom cloud marked the explosion of the DuPont TNT plant to Shawamigan Bay residents yesterday. The concussion went directly across the 3 miles of Shawamigan Bay to Ashland. Windows here trembled from the blast, but few were broken. In the 1952 blast, 50 storefront windows were broken. In the woods not too far from the plant were 27 explorer scouts of the Gitche-Gumee Council. That includes Boy Scouts from Superior, Washburn, Ashland, and Ironwood, who were busily working on conservation projects. The camp was badly shaken, but Camp Executive Ernest Harvey of Ashland says no one was hurt. He broadcast on WATW radio to assure parents that the boys were safe. In Ashland, this is Norris Swanson.
KWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports that people in Superior are concerned about families at DuPont plant. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Lou. News of the DuPont plant explosion brought 2 hours of panic to the Ernie Arsenault family of 1223 North 12th Street. Mrs. Arsenault had lost a brother in the 1952 tragedy there. At first word of the explosion late yesterday, the Superiorite says she sat stunned for several seconds. Quoting her, "Then my first thought was to call Washburn, home of Ray Cudbore and Yalmer Moe, relatives working in the plant, to find out if my relatives were hurt. It was 2 years, 5 months, and 6 days since the last explosion in which my brother Edward Cudmore lost his life. The lines were all tied up. During the next 2 hours, my husband and I waited feverishly, and finally, at 7:30 p.m., our call went through. The boys were safe, Lou."
KUWS Radio News, time is 6:07. Tim Michaels has this word from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company.
Hey, give that June bride electrical gifts for healthier, happier, and better living. That's right. An electrical appliance is a useful, practical gift, one that's used and remembered for years to come. With a food mixer, she can prepare better meals faster. An ironer takes practically all the work out of ironing. Her living room can look warm and bright with plenty of smart lamps. Other appliances help her do many chores faster, easier, and better. Your Superior Appliance dealer has a wide selection of new electrical appliances for the bride and groom. All yours at Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Lou?
The 3-day civil defense evacuation test continues today. We begin our world report from an undisclosed location near Washington.
This is Sterling F. Green at Emergency Press Headquarters. President Eisenhower sped from his hideaway location today to the emergency headquarters of the Defense Department to meet with the National Security Council in the wake of yesterday's massive but imaginary atomic attack. On tap for the practice session was an up-to-the-hour briefing on the mock devastation in 61 major population and industrial centers. The briefing was to weigh the devastation and loss of life as if the vast disaster exercise were reality. The president issued a mock declaration of martial law to mobilize the federal government to get a badly disjointed nation back in top fighting form. A spokesman said it's Eisenhower's view that martial law is necessary to the national interests so Congress, supposedly but not actually scattered, could reconvene and normal channels of government be reestablished. The attack, heralded by screaming sirens, left on paper 7,636,000 dead and 5,200,000 injured. These figures were incomplete since a number of cities had not yet reported. Total population of the 61 cities is 34 million. Most of them had advance warning before the sirens sounded about noon. Defense officials estimated that a real attack with no warning under identical conditions would have killed or wounded 37% of the 34 million people. There were examples of genuine confusion. Not until 11:30 last night was the 61st city hit reported. It was Portland, Maine, which was the first city supposedly devastated. The mock attack on Portland came at 1:53 p.m., and the last missile in the simulated coast-to-coast atomic drubbing came at 3:45 p.m. Minutes later came the all clear. It was assumed that both hydrogen and conventional atomic weapons were dropped. There are 31 secret retreats housing key personnel from as many agencies. Into them, emergency communication lines poured some 500 prearranged problems demanding solution. Great visible clouds of fallout, which it is calculated have ruined crops and cattle and menaced populations in thousands of square miles from radioactive rubble of New York, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Detroit. But most Americans are presumed still alive to work and fight. The U.S. Strategic Air Command has sent imaginary fleets of B-46 Stratajet and B-36 Super Fortresses carrying A-bomb and H-bombs on retaliatory missions. Great holes are presumably torn in the industrial base of the country. Pittsburgh Steel, Los Angeles' aircraft, Akron's rubber, Detroit's tanks and vehicles, Wilmington's explosives, and New England's electronics are written off in the exercise. Still, much is left. Enough to win the war if scattered workers can be herded back to factories, munitions orders switched from blasted plants to undamaged ones, and the tattered web of industry, agriculture, power, and transportation woven into a new economic pattern. This was the job to which the 31 relocated agencies, working in borrowed college classrooms, remote resort hotels, and one backwoods tent city. Civil Defense Administrator Val Peterson told reporters here, Operation Alert has been very successful, and the government is operating very effectively. Even so, Peterson said most cities found they lacked the resources to do the civil defense job right. This is Sterling F. Green at an undisclosed location near Washington, D.C.
This is Stan Turner in Buenos Aires. Jet planes joined in the attack on Government House this afternoon, indicating the Air Force has joined naval aviation forces in today's revolt. The revolt broke out against President Juan Perón's regime only a few hours after the Vatican excommunicated him with other government leaders for actions against the church. 15 minutes after the new bombing started, explosive and incendiary bombs were still dropping. The government house, or Casa Rosada, had been directly hit. Seeking cover, panicky crowds banged on the closed steel shutters that had been let down in front of stores. There was hand-to-hand fighting outside the building, and it appeared that Perón forces were putting down the revolt. Then, new waves of bombers dropped high explosives on Buenos Aires' famous Plaza de Mayo near the National Cathedral. A great plume of black smoke rose from the Plaza District. Casualty numbers are believed to be huge. Radio Mitre, apparently seized by revolutionaries, announced that the city of Rosario was completely in control of the revolutionaries. Rosario has 500,000 population and is Argentina's second largest city. Radio Mitre's announcer shouted, "This is a democratic revolution. The tyrant is dead." The Roman Catholic Church announced the excommunication, that is, cutting off sacraments of the church, was applied because of events culminating in the expulsion of Bishop Manuel Cato. In Buenos Aires, this is Stan Turner.
This is Bill Cortez in Baltimore. Secretary General of the United Nations, Dag Hammarskjöld, says there is, quote, duty to what I shall call international service, with a claim on our lives equal to that of the duty to serve family, neighbor, country, and creed, unquote. He said it's spawned by technological and economic development, which, quoting again, have, as never before, brought us together as members of one human family, unified beyond race or creed on a shrinking globe in the face of danger of our own making, end quote. Hammarskjöld addressed 300 graduates of Johns Hopkins University. He says international service requires that we should be true to none other than our ideals and interests after having opened our minds with great honesty to the many voices of the world, end quote. He denied international service splits a person's loyalties. Quoting him again, the international civil servant who works for an organization with members of different ideologies and interests remains under the obligation that applies to all of us, to to be faithful to truth. In doing so, he is loyal both to the organization and to his country, end quote. In Baltimore, this is Bill Cortez.
And that, Tim, is the 6 o'clock news.
Say, Lou, you ever take Harriet to the submarine races?
I'm familiar with the lingo of today's young people, and it's none of your business.
Lou Martin, the craziest sub-captain in town. Machine Gun Kelly will be in with his report on the submarine races, but first, let's check the stars for this Thursday night, June 16th, 1955. Fair skies tonight, a low of 70, with the rays beaten down tomorrow and a high of 85. Pretty much like today. All right, you cats and kittens. Here's a new guy with a hot tune that he modestly named after himself. This is Bo Diddley with Bo Diddley and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
So listen to my baby diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine, he gonna take it to a private eye.
Oh, yeah, Bo Diddley singing Bo Diddley on Kickin' KUWS. You know that cat plays a rectangular guitar? Wow. 7th Street Supermarket is smoking for the next 3 days. Starting today and running through Saturday, 7th Street Market is having its Let's Get Acquainted Jamboree. Free balloons for all the kiddies and real live clowns who are much funnier than dead clowns. 100 prizes of household items, toys, sports, equipment, picnic items, and 100 free bags of groceries. Of course, they have the lowest food prices in town. Club steak, 35 cents a pound. Chuck roast, 29 cents a pound. Pot pies, my fave, 6 for a dollar. Armor Star hams, 4-pound tins, $3.69. Whole watermelons, 3.5 cents a pound. And Russell's ice cream, all flavors at 89 cents a half gallon. All that and gold bond stamps, too. So check out the scene and get acquainted with the 7th Street Supermarket at 7th and Tower in downtown Superior. Hey, big gun, you on the horn?
Yeah, it's a pay horn, man. It cost me a nickel. This is an expensive assignment. You know, nickels don't grow on trees, babe.
You're sounding down, gun. You always like going to the Stardust Drive-In.
Oh, Machine Gun feels like he's singing about the private backseat goings on at the Passion Pit here.
Think of it this way, man. You're letting our younger cats and kittens know the ropes of submarine races.
They should learn that from their mommies and daddios.
That's just sick, man. Pop's talking to me about necking and worse. He's way too decent a guy for that.
Well, since you're here, Pops must have had a little on the ball. I hope I don't get pounded tonight. People do not like getting bugged while they're watching the submarine races.
All right, Big Gun. Talk to you in a bit. Machine Gun Kelly at the Stardust Drive-In tonight following the submarine races. And kids, if your parents are listening, better send them out of the room before this next report. Here's Sam Cooke, and You Send Me on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Darling, you
Singer, songwriter Sam Cooke, and You Send Me on Kickin' KUWS.
It's time for Miss Lucille Horn and Over the Cracker Barrel. And no, there are no crackers for Tim.
I promise I won't whistle while eating crackers this time.
No?
That was rather messy last time, Timothy. Your mother should have taught you not to do that.
And my pop should have taught me about making out.
Never a dull moment.
Or an appropriate moment. And I think Machine Gun is going to get pounded tonight.
Submarine racing is very private.
Purely educational, though. Etiquette must not be ignored, even in the backseat of a car.
Anyway.
Most important today, Lou, is the Superior Ministerial Association is joining with the Shawamigan Bay Clergy Committee to raise money for the families of the three men killed in yesterday's DuPont TNT plant explosion. There are now three widows with nine children who need the help of everyone. Most churches and synagogues are involved, so if you can help, contact your place of worship. It's so gorgeous now that summer is here, Lou, and everybody. And it's so busy. Festivals galore. This weekend, the Muskie Festival is in Hayward. They'll have a giant parade and crown Miss Muskie Saturday night. Yours truly has been asked to be a judge.
I suppose contestants have to have thin lips and good fins.
Hayward's got everything. Check out the Betcher Deer Farm, History Land, and good places for snacks like the Blue Heron, Radio Joe's, and a secret little spot called Bill O'Brien's at the Walker Hotel. You can always tell when a community is celebrating its centennial like they are in Bloomer this summer. If you've seen whiskered swains lately, they could be men growing beards from Bloomer. The folks at Bayfield will be tossing away their razors next year. 1956 is their 100-year birthday.
Even the women stop shaving?
And another sign of the passing of an era as the death rattle for the horse and mule in farming becomes more recognizable each year. For the first time in its 70-year history, Montgomery Ward has omitted workhorse harnesses from their catalog, Lou.
Thank you, Miss Lucille Horn, with Over the Cracker Barrel. And stop eating crackers while you're on the air.
Oh, let's talk about crackers. It makes me hungry. Now here's Johnny Matheson, Wonderful, Wonderful, on the Tim Michaels Slow Dance Party.
Sometimes we walk hand in hand by the sea, and we breathe in the cool, salty air. You turn to me with a kiss in your eyes, and my heart feels a thrill beyond compare.
Johnny Matheson, Wonderful, Wonderful on KUWS. A perfect tune for the submarine races. Hey, Georgie.
Hiya, Tim boy. You know, the grandkids might think old Grandpa Newton isn't up on these hip terms, but they better think again. Submarine races are a humorous way of saying a couple is going somewhere like Skyline Parkway in Duluth or Wisconsin Point in Superior. And those passion pits, you know, the drive-in theaters, they're not going for the view. The big outdoor screens, the cars in the parking lot with the little speakers hanging on from the car windows. But these youngsters, they're just diving out of sight in the back seats of the cars, below the line of the windows, mind you. Well, they're nothing new. I mean, sure, the advent of the automobile lets kids get away from the watchful eyes of their folks, so that's new. But the whole submarine racing concept, that's not new.
I think I said 9 words to him, Lou.
He's on a roll.
You know, before these outdoor cinemas, there was the balcony in the regular theaters where the kids would cuddle. Before that, it was in the barn and a roll in the hay. Who knows? Thousands of years ago, they were probably submarine races in the back of caves.
Before submarines were even invented.
Probably whale races or dino races. Gotta be something.
Now let me introduce George G. Newton with George G. Newton and Yaley Realty.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Lou. Hey, man, it is summer, it is nice out, and some George G. Newton of George G. Newton and Yaley Realty has some great cabin deals for you. Beautiful lakefront jobs. Hey, how about this? 20 acres, four-room cabin with a well and a dandy outhouse at Lyman Lake, $650. You heard right. Here's another cabin, 3 miles past Patterson Park. Again, it's 20 acres. It's also got a well and a two-seater outhouse, $600. And if you're looking to build, there's large lake lots off Highway A in Solon Springs that's going for just $250 a lot. What if you're looking to rent a cabin? Well, look no further than Lake Ruth in Iron River. Housekeeping cottages for $20 and $25 and $30 a week. Sweet, sweet deal in a sweet, sweet place, folks. I saved the best and coziest for last, you know. A small cabin right on the shore of Lake Amnicon. It's sitting under virgin pine trees, plywood interior.
You think it'd be pine?
Excellent condition. They're asking just $925. Now, mark my words, this isn't just a vacation place. It's an investment, too. Heck, in 10 years, you won't be able to get your hands on nice lake property for under $2,000. That's it for George G. Newton of George G. Newton Yearly Agency. You know, give me a call at Export 46623. Bye-bye now.
Boy, that Big Daddy can scram as fast as anyone. Last song for the dance party, then a report from Machine Gun Kelly at the Stardust Drive-In, if he hasn't gotten pounded. Here's a new one from the 1955 Hit Parade. It's Carl Perkins and Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede. Knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Car, drink my liquor from my old fruit jar, do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of them shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. For the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoe, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe.
Yeah, Carl Perkins in blue suede shoes on the Tim Michaels Dance Party. Now live from the Stardust Drive-In payphone, alive and well as Machine Gun Kelly at the submarine races. Rattle anyone's cage there, Big Gun?
Ah, one guy said I was cruising for a bruising.
You know, some people have no respect for scientific investigation.
I tried to tell him that, and the cat offered me a knuckle sandwich,
so,
man.
You didn't get pounded for tapping on the steamed-up windows of cars.
Negatory. First car was Tom Campionato, you know, the big man on campus. He was necking with Betty Ostrowski, sweater girl.
Oh, they give you any submarine racing tips?
Affirmativo. Tommy told me not to knock on steamed-up car windows. Can't blame him for not watching the flick, though. The movie is April in Paris with Doris Day and Ray Bolger. A real bow-wow. What you need is a good sci-fi with radioactive mutant bugs or octopuses.
Octopi.
So I knocked on the back seat window of this cherry 51 Studebaker Commander four-door. Nice and roomy, and who rolls down the window? None other than a witch doctor.
I.e.,
Preacher Man.
And his wife, right there in the passion pit. I didn't think they did that. Must be a Methodist or something.
Where do you think little Methodists come from?
I just don't like to think about that, man. Not from my minister. Anyway, he told me to make like a Bible and book. Next car I rapped on, you won't believe this, King Timothy, it was Stinky Dvorak fogging up windows with Dot Erickson.
Wow. Stinky got a date?
he had lots of car fresheners hanging from the rearview mirror. Then I spot the car with the windows down, and they're actually watching the film, man, and liking Doris Day.
Wow, that's just sick, old man.
Even though it gave me the heebie-jeebies, I approached the car, a 51 Hudson Hornet, cool wheels. Inside are four cheerleaders, sweaters and ponytails and all, and they want me to join them for the second part of the double feature, Springfield Rifle with Gary Cooper. The chicks say Gary Cooper is old, but still, meow, and you know what that could mean for Machine Gun Kelly. I gotta scream over there, King Timothy, after I pick up some popcorn and dentine.
Machine Gun Kelly, living the dream gun in a 51 Hudson Hornet. Well, time to cut out Gats and Kittens. Coming up tonight for the small screen, away from the submarine races, is Truth or Consequences, Red Skelton, and Charlie Chan Mystery. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and Machine Gun comes up for air. For Lou Martin, Tim Michaels here, rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1955, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Al Katz, Kathy Berggren, Jim Packard, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1955 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.